Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers who work in many fields and teach us the art of living, how to work in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace, and use the technological advances available to us. Approximately every 2,500 years, a new teacher brings a body of teaching to humanity that is suited to our needs at that particular time. Usually this takes place at the end of an age. Right now, as the age of Pisces declines and our solar system aligns with the constellation Aquarius, new energies are beginning to make themselves felt. As these Aquarian energies of sharing and justice stream into our planet, the need for change can be seen more clearly. A period of chaos ensues as the old order lessens its grip on humanity, and the impulse of sharing, justice and peace inspires us to move forward in evolution as a united group.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our program. We would like to start with an article titled Whatever It Takes, The Next Tsunami Wave, and it's by Luke Gioli, and it starts as follows. Whatever it takes, this is the new motto trumpeted by major central banks around the world in their attempt to save the financial markets. The authorship of this expression is attributed to Mario Draghi back in 2012, at a time when he was chairman of the European Central Bank, ECB for short. In the aftermath of the financial crash of 2008, the euro currency went through an unprecedented crisis. Draghi then announced an unlimited program of national debt purchases in the eurozone, among other measures, as he was determined to save the euro, whatever it takes. Despite initial announcements by governments that the COVID-19 crisis would cost the world economy a few points of GDP, it quickly became obvious that the world would undergo a severe economic recession.
The financial markets began to plummet. The French CAC 40, as an example, had fallen by 37% as of 22nd of March 2020 from its 19 February 2020 peak. The same happened with the Dow Jones on Wall Street. The same wave of panic washed over the entire global financial marketplace. The hitherto rather silent central banks, that is the European Central Bank ECB, the Federal Reserve, the Bank of Japan and others, suddenly woke up in fright and announced strong measures, including their favourite unorthodox tactic of quantitative easing. The ECB announced a program of 750 billion euros of purchases of national debt and other bonds, whereas the Federal Reserve enacted an unlimited program of quantitative easing, ready to purchase treasury bonds, mortgages, municipal bonds, short-term loans, almost everything.
Unlimited access to liquidities for banks was on the agenda of the central banks in North America, Europe, the UK, Japan, Australia, and who knows where next. At the same time, hospitals and the medical staff in many so-called economically advanced nations were begging for desperately needed protective gear and ventilators, the shortage of which resulted in exposing medical workers to extreme danger and, tragically, the deaths of doctors and nurses. Furthermore, the overcrowding in intensive care units in hospitals literally forced some doctors to have to choose from among patients with severe COVID-19 conditions as to who would survive and who would not. 25 years of austerity in social budgets has thus revealed the lack of hospital capacity and the shortage of qualified staff, equipment and food that became absolute necessities in the case of such a pandemic situation. Ebola, SARS, H1N1 and other epidemics had all occurred on a smaller scale, but that was not seen as enough to justify investment in healthcare.
The crude reality is that market forces, and the financial markets in particular, have imposed healthcare budget restrictions on governments for what are seen as social costs and not as social assets. The perception of ordinary people is certainly very different, and the present COVID-19 crisis will awaken many of our fellow, that is in the world, citizens to their rights for a decent and well-equipped healthcare system. If a central bank can create billions of euros or US dollars out of nothing to buy back bonds, shares and debts in order to keep the collapsing financial markets afloat, it can certainly create money for healthcare and other vital services for people.
The financial world is not a soft power. It is the dominating force which is using the so-called neoliberal economic system to enforce a predatory feudal system on the world's populations. In her latest book, famous Indian activist Vandana Shiva cited the Wall Street Journal, or citing the Wall Street Journal, states that the richest 1% have grabbed 95% of world's economic growth since 2008. Meanwhile, the 2019 report by the UN Conference on Trade and Development, the UNCTAD, A New Multilateralism for Shared Prosperity, provides figures about the world GDP, which has grown from some US $11.2 billion in 1980 to US $76 billion in 2016. Whereas global financial assets have inflated from US $12 billion to $300 billion in the same time span, a hypergrowth totally disconnected from the real economy. Economic inequality has become like a cancer in the cell of the body of humanity.
In this respect, it is notable that the master Dewald Kohl wrote through Alice A. Bailey in Education in the New Age that the world war was like a surgical intervention carried out to save the life of humanity at the expense of the form. But, he said, the germ was not fully eradicated at that time, and a new intervention might be necessary to clear up the infection and get rid of the fever. The financial markets as they exist at present may indeed be considered a streptococcic germ. This is the exact term used by Master DK to describe the infection. That must indeed be cleared away before any step forward to a regeneration of our life is possible. The stock markets have essentially become the place for harsh speculation with very little consideration and interest in long-term investment. Speculators have forced corporations into publishing quarterly reports, which makes blatantly clear their focus on short-term gain and proves their way of interest in anything like an investment. It is a field of expression of pure greed.
A recession is more than likely, and the plunging financial markets will, in all likelihood, not recover. There will probably be no return to business as usual. Despite huge efforts by the central banks, the crisis will not go away. Recent estimates by the UNCTAD foresee that the coronavirus crisis could cut global, in other words real investment, by 40%. The survey carried out on a panel made up of the 5,000 of the largest multinational companies shows that foreign direct investment, FDI, prospects are much worse than anticipated at the beginning of the crisis. Large sectors in industry and services are already trapped in a critical situation. The aeronautics industry has recently called for a Marshall Plan for the industry, which is in desperate straits. In March, Steven Mnuchin, US Secretary of the Treasury, dreaded a rise in the unemployment rate of some 20% in America in the months ahead, whereas the famous American bank Goldman Sachs was anticipating a 24% drop in the US economy.
One of the worst nightmares of financiers lies with the potential zombie corporations and banks, off-balance sheet transactions and securities in banks, private equities and other financial institutions may trigger a chain reaction in the entire system. Likewise, many large corporations have used extremely low interest rates to buy back their shares, not only to gain control over their corporations, but also to sustain the value of those shares on the stock markets. At any moment, a global player may collapse, thus causing further bankruptcies and triggering a systemic reaction, as happened with the Lehman Brothers in 2008. If that happens, the situation will spin out of control. When all monetary and financial mechanisms by central banks will have been used and exhausted, there will be no way out, no bailout.
Readers of Share International magazine have long known that the world economy must be on its knees before any significant change can be undertaken at the global level. This moment is clearly not far off. The attempts by central banks to artificially prolong the lifespan of the system may delay the inevitable outcome for a couple of months, but their very action designed to extend the life of what's called the financial virus will inevitably result in the painful lancing of the boil, the source of infection. It will be the time for people all over the world to hold their governments to account and to raise their voices for justice, sharing and equity. And with a number of months of strict confinement, we may anticipate that the great bulk of humanity will have had time to ponder on the essential values of life for a saner future.
While the focus of all media at present is on COVID-19 only, we should not forget that on the front line of the battle against hunger and extreme poverty, every day is a tsunami-like situation. According to the World Food Programme, WFP, some 820 million people suffered from hunger in the world in 2018, with more than 2 billion being subject to moderate or severe food insecurity. As readers of Share International, we are aware that the voice of the people, encouraged by the masters, will be the major power in the world to bring about the profound and necessary changes in our lives and in our economic, monetary, and financial systems in particular. No doubt many will be the voices raised to demand the necessary changes. No doubt Maitreya himself will be at the forefront of that movement. It will be the time to take all measures to save humanity and the planet. Whatever it takes, call it Green New Deal or Green and Global Marshall Plan, it will take nothing less than a huge endeavour on that level to change the world economy. And the source from that was from Le Monde, Mediapart, France, UNCTAD News.
So the next piece on a different subject from the March 2020 issue of the magazine is titled "The Time for Postponed Climate Action is Over" by David Corten. In 1962, Rachel Carson warned us with the publication of Silent Spring that the indiscriminate use of pesticides was disrupting critical ecosystems and causing severe damage to human health. Her message led to a ban on the use of DDT in the United States and eventual restrictions on its use in much of the world. Her warning also helped launch the environmental movement and its call to humanity to accept responsibility for the consequences of our impact on Earth. 10 years later, in 1972, the book The Limits to Growth by an MIT research team led by Donella and Dennis Meadows again focused global attention on humanity's environmental responsibility. Presented as a report to the Club of Rome, the book used computer modelling to demonstrate that sustained economic growth on a finite planet would lead to environmental and economic collapse in the early to mid-21st century. It sold more than 3 million copies in some 35 languages.
The book stirred significant public debate at the time and had a defining influence in shaping the lives and thinking of many members of my generation. It came under withering critique, however, from a corporate establishment that profits from growth and from neoliberal economists who provided intellectual cover for the establishment. To the detriment of people and planet, and unlike Carson's book, The Limits to Growth had no discernible impact on public policy. Yet, over the next 20 years, concern for the growing human threat to Earth's essential living systems gained in status to become the dominant scientific consensus. In 1992, the Union of Concerned Scientists issued a proclamation, World Scientists Warning to Humanity, signed by more than 1,700 scientists, including a majority of the then-living Nobel laureates in the sciences. Its message was clear and unambiguous. The Earth is finite. Current economic practices which damage the environment in both developed and underdeveloped nations cannot be continued without the risk that vital global systems will be damaged beyond repair.
In November 2017, exactly 55 years after the book Silent Spring, 45 years after the book Limits to Growth, and 25 years after the Warning to Humanity, the Alliance of World Scientists issued a new proclamation, World Scientists Warning to Humanity, a second notice. This one was signed by more than 20,000 scientists in 184 countries. It concluded, we face deforestation, ocean acidification, diminishing freshwater supplies, the Earth's sixth mass extinction event, exponential human population growth, overconsumption, and a climate system veering outside of the conditions within which human civilization developed.
Less than a year later, in October 2018, the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change issued a report calling for dramatic action on climate change, along with specific targets required to avoid catastrophic and irreparable consequences. The New York Times summarized the key findings and recommendations. To prevent 2.7 degrees Fahrenheit of warming, the report said, greenhouse pollution must be reduced by 45% from 2010 levels by 2030 and 100% by 2050. It also found that by 2050, use of coal as an electricity source would have to drop from nearly 40% today to between 1 and 7%. Renewable energy such as wind and solar, which make up about 20% of the electricity mix today, would have to increase to as much as 67%.
BBC environmental correspondent Matt McGrath pointed out in July 2019 that to achieve the UN's initial target of a 45% cut in carbon emissions by 2030 will require decisive global action by the end of this year, 2020. His point is that reaching that initial target in just 10 years will require massive changes. So if we don't get going immediately, we will not make it. Humanity is reawakening to a basic truth understood by earlier humans, by many indigenous people today, and now confirmed by the leading scientists. We are born of and members of a living Earth community. We are now awakening to the responsibilities that come with our distinctive ability to consciously create our future. The environmental consequences of our neglect of this responsibility have been known for more than a half century. But for many people, the urgent need to act is just now sinking in.
And that's unfortunately all we have time for today, and I do hope you've appreciated listening to all we had to say. If you'd like more information, please go to our website, share-international.org, or you could email us at sharenz@yahoo.com. Thank you once again. Love and blessings.